How about that? Ooh, there we go. You can go ahead and sit, take your seat. Praise the Lord. Amen. One time we were playing a joke on one of our sound people, and we just started mouthing. We were holding the microphones, acting like we were talking. We weren't saying anything. They're flipping every switch they can try to find and all that kind of stuff. I didn't do that tonight. Sorry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's great to see everybody. Amen. I feel like I'm a country mile away from everybody. Let's see how we can rotate this thing. I can't get up here where you are. Amen. That's a little bit better for me. Praise God. How many of you love the Word of God? Amen. Isn't God's Word wonderful? He's given us His Word. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to start in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. We're going to look at the baptism of Jesus and then the subsequent events that took place after that and see some things. Sometimes when you have something great spiritually happen, we kind of get the idea, well, that's it. The devil's going to leave us alone. We're never going to have any more trouble in life. But how many of you found out that doesn't necessarily happen, does it? Does it mean we're not going to have any more tests and trials and temptations in life? But we do have the answer for them, and it's the Word of God. So we want to look at that tonight and just, as we see this, how to hang on to what God's given you. You could call it that, or you could call it how to defeat the devil, whatever you want to do, how to resist the devil. Ever what kind of title you want to put on, it's fine with me. I'm just going to call it the Bible. How about that? Okay. All right, here in Matthew chapter 3, start in verse 13. Now, I'm going to read from the King James Bible, but I might un-King James some words, okay? Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me. Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, or allow it, please. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or he allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now here we see the Godhead in operation together. We see Jesus in the water. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove. Didn't necessarily say it was a dove, but descended like a dove. But then a voice came from heaven. And it's obvious that this is the Father, because only the Father would have a son, right? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And so that's important that we understand what's just happened here. God has supernaturally spoken. This is a supernatural event to hear God's voice audibly. Does God speak from heaven? This, Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now let's keep reading here then. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Well, that's one of the great understatements of the Bible. I mean, if it had written about me, they'd probably said, he had fasted 4 hours and was afterward a hungered. Any of you relate with that? How about 40 minutes to the 40? But anyway, if you got any of you raised teenage boys, that's about, you just fed them and they're back in there dirtying up the kitchen again. So, but he's hungry. And when the tempter, look at verse 3, the tempter came to him, he said, now notice this, if thou be the Son of God. Now I want you to notice here, he's gone really directly from the Jordan River up into what there in Judea they call the wilderness, really a mountainous region and kind of a deserted area. We think wilderness, a lot of trees, We think wilderness, maybe that's where Bigfoot lives, okay? But that's not the type of wilderness they have in Israel. Wilderness there is a rocky, dusty place, all right, in that region of the world right around Jericho. So he's there in that mountainous region. And after 40 days, the devil comes, and notice what he questions, what God had just said, all right? I know it's been 40 days, but he questioned him. Now, let's catch something here. If the devil's going to question Jesus, about who he is and what God said about him, I'll guarantee you he's going to question us and try to get us to back off and try to get us to question who we are. You know, I heard one person preach this, and they called it, you have to answer the if. If you be the Son of God. Well, was he the Son of God?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? He knows it, and even God had spoken that he was the Son of God. Well, we're all children of God, too. So notice what Jesus does here. He doesn't say, now look, I'm God, just leave me alone, devil. I want you to notice what he does here, okay? Because if he did this, we can do the same thing. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now notice what he does here. He uses the word of God, as it were, almost as a weapon. Do you see that? It is written. It is written. He didn't wave his hand because he had some supernatural God ability. He used the written word of God, what God had already said, and he used that to resist what the devil, and to answer the question, if you be the Son of God. Well, now how many of you know the devil? He doesn't just take one. He's not going to leave you alone after one time. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you be the Son of God. Ask him the exact same question. Question it again. All right. If you be healed by the stripes of Jesus, if you are the righteousness of God in Christ, if greater is he that's in you than he. See, questioning what God says about Jesus, but then also about us. He's going to question that. Okay? Now here again, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do to overcome this? Look what it says. He says, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. Now the devil is quoting scripture to Jesus, which I think is hilarious. The devil is quoting the word to the word of God. Amen? You ever thought about that? Here's the word made flesh, and the devil's quoting the word to him. Hallelujah. But you know, anybody can take the word and take it out of context. Got to be careful with that. Now, that's what the devil does. He said, it's written, he'll give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, notice again, that phrase, it is written. It is written. So again, now verse 8, the devil takes him up unto exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things I will give you if. Now notice, all three of these temptations here, he doesn't question if he's the Son of God now, but he still is questioning Jesus and giving him opportunities. Now, one thing I will say about this, how many of you know Jesus came to get back what the devil had stolen, these kingdoms. And so I found this out in life, and I've been a Christian now for over 38 years. This June 30th, this summer will be 39 years. And, it's amazing. That was June. In August, I preached my first sermon. Now, why in the world, after 2 months, they let me preach a sermon? I don't know, but they did. Okay? And so I kind of count that as my beginning, if you will. But after all these years, I have found these things to be true, that the devil's going to question you on who you are, and he's also going to offer you a shortcut. All right? Now, be careful in the shortcuts. You know, how many of you know just naturally sometimes, have you ever taken a shortcut and got lost? Amen. I mean, sometimes I think, you know, now you can, you know, they've got all these different GPS things you can get on your phone. You can, all this different stuff. But sometimes they don't even know where they're going. You know, I know one time I pulled up, I was looking for my Amanda's cousin's house. We pulled up, and between us and the house was a ravine. But the GPS told us, you have arrived. No, we haven't. We're on the street, but it's across the ravine. Now, today, that was several years. Now, today, they've actually built the bridge across there, but it wasn't there then. So we had to figure out how to, you know, go around. But here he offers him a shortcut in these things. All right. He said, if you'll bow down, if you'll worship me, I'll give it all to you. Then Jesus said, verse 10, get thee hence, Satan, For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now look in Luke chapter 4. We'll look at verse 1 and verse 14. And then I want to go back to Genesis chapter 3. So Jesus is our example of how to do it. Adam and Eve are examples of how not to do it. Okay? You know. So that's so true. Sometimes you have to learn what not to do sometimes. I know the first church that I worked at, I was on staff there for 9 years and getting ready. One of the last things that pastor, as far as being on his staff, one of the last things he said to me was, well, if nothing else, you've learned what not to do being here for the last 9 years. But I learned a lot of what to do there too. Luke 4:1, and Jesus, now this is after he was baptized, said, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. I wanted to read that to add that part. Jesus, when the Spirit of God descended on him, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. How many of you know you and I can be full of the Holy Ghost? Right? That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man Jesus from Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Jesus told us that the Spirit of God would be in us and he could be upon us. He said, returned from Jordan and was led of the Spirit in the wilderness. Now look at verse 14. After Jesus had used the word of God and said it is written, or said it's said, he quoted the word. Verse 14 says, in Luke 4, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, glory to God, into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Why? Why did he return in the power of the Spirit? Because of the victory there of using God's word. When we put God's word in our mouth and speak to circumstances and tell and say what God's word says about us, the power of the Spirit goes into operation. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. We know, you know, have you ever thought about this concerning God? And you know, sometimes I talk to parents, you know, and they're just so distraught. One of their, you know, they've done their best with their children, and one of them's just rebelling, not doing what's right, and it's just breaking their heart. And I told one here the other day, you know what? There's only been one perfect father, and he put his children in a perfect place to live, and they still rebelled against him, but he redeemed them. Amen. He didn't give up on them. So if you got children that aren't living for God and you don't just trust God, just give them to God. God, thank you, Jesus. You're the Redeemer. Just redeem them back, Father. You know, as you raise your children, the promise in Proverbs is if you raise up a child in the way they shall go when they're old, they'll not turn from it. You say, well, I didn't know these things. That's all right. God will have mercy. Amen. Paul told that jailer, he said, if you'll believe, you'll be saved and your whole household. Boy, stand on that. That's what my parents stood on, that scripture. My mom got saved back in 1964 in El Paso, Texas. My dad was in the ROTC, and so he ended up stationed there in El Paso, there at the Army base there. And so Billy Graham came to, in April of that year, came to El Paso, Texas, had a crusade. She went and I think rode the bus or something crazy like that. And the next day she gave birth to my youngest sister. You know, today they did, don't be going anywhere, you know. You get so far along, they just, but back in those days, you know. But she got saved back then. And then in 1980, my dad got saved and started praying this prayer that some people told him about that. And it wasn't too long after that I got saved. My sister that's next to me, and then my youngest sister all came in, all of us in the ministry today. Thank God for it. You stand on the word of God for your children is what I'm saying. You say, but the devil said, well, you know, if, you know, what if, what if, what if? You tell me, it is written. It is written, right? It is written. If my whole household. Okay? You say, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, let's go find it. Hold your finger there in Genesis. I want you to know where it is. So you can actually say it is written in Acts chapter whatever. All right. And it's going to go to chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Here Paul and Silas have been put in prison. And you know the story here, after they've been, because they cast the devil out of a girl with a spirit of divination, and she no longer could tell people's fortunes, and so her handlers couldn't make any more money, so they got mad and went to the Romans and had Paul and Silas put in prison. And at midnight, verse 25 says, Acts 16:25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, I'll give credit, Brother Craig, he's the first one I ever heard say that, Pastor Craig. He asked this question one time, how long does midnight last? A second. You ever thought about that? Oh, it's just the midnight hour. Well, quit. It's not the midnight hour. It's a midnight second. It's only midnight for 1 second. Don't live in the midnight. Praise God like these guys did. They praised God. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. And, of course, they're let go. Keeper of the prison comes in. Man, he's distraught. This is his job. Uh-oh, they're gone. He said, no, we're still here. Don't fret. We're still here. And verse 30, and they brought them out and said, sirs, he said to them, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house. What's a good promise right there? Acts 16:31. If you haven't got that marked or written down, make sure you write that one down. All right? All right, back in Genesis chapter 3. Here, we see Adam and Eve in the garden, this perfect place where God has caused them to dwell. It's evident that he comes down, you know, from what we can see, he would come down and spend time with them and walk with them in the garden. We know that when he placed them there, he gave Adam the job to keep the garden. Adam also named all the animals. And then God brought him the helpmate, Eve, to him. But he said, look, there's one tree in this garden I don't want you to eat of. Now, it wasn't that God doesn't want them to know the difference between good and evil. It's just that it's sacred to God. It's sacred. It's God's tree. All right? And he's given them a choice because, you know, God didn't want a family that's robots. He wanted somebody, if that man said, I love you, he had to make a decision to love God, right, in this. But anyway, so here's what happens in chapter 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yes, has God said? Now, notice him question. Notice the questioning of God's word. Excuse me. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, yeah and no. God had said, don't eat of it, because in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, they didn't die physically that day, but they were separated from God, and that relationship was separated. She added the part about not touching it. Now, if you're a gardener and you have to keep the trees of the garden, he said, keep the garden. Are you going to have to trim that tree? Are you going to have to touch it? Absolutely. He didn't say anything about touching it. He just said, don't eat of it. Well, here's the devil questioning, and that's why it's important that we say what the word says about our situation. And the serpent said, verse 4, to the woman, you shall not surely die. But God does know that in the day that you eat, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Let me say this. Anybody that tells you something different than what God's word says, you're going to have to spend time away from them. Amen. Because he asked the question. He actually said to her, you're not going to die, but God said they would. Amen. See, he directly contradicted what God said. And there's good meaning people, bless their hearts. Sometimes they don't know better, sometimes they do. They're going to question you and try to get you to come off of God's word. Because if you'll stay on God's word, you'll win every time. It may not happen tomorrow, may not happen the next day, but you're going to win. Have you read the back of the book? We do win. All right? We do win. Okay, see what happened here. Verse 6, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, I've heard some people preach this like, you know, oh, that woman, she, look what she did. She ate us out of house and home, you know. Adam's right there. She took and gave it right to him. He's standing there. He didn't do anything. He just, you know. I used to think, growing up, I don't know why, when I heard this, I thought he was out riding elephants or something. I didn't know what he was doing. But he said she gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And of course, you know what happened. Their very first reaction, notice, was they got afraid of God. When God came, they hid themselves. We don't have to be afraid of God. We're his children. You don't ever have to be afraid of God. Well, what about the fear of the Lord? That's something totally different. That's respect for God, right? That's respect, not fear. Not I'm not running from God. I'm always going to run to God, all right? So let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Now here, talks about the armor of God. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, have you noticed that if you look down through that, starting there in verse 14 about this armor, every piece of it's tied to the word of God. The truth. What is the truth? It's God's word. The breastplate of righteousness. In Romans 1, it says it's in the word that in the gospel is righteousness revealed from faith to faith. The gospel, of course. And then the shield of faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God. The helmet of salvation. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And then he said that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I want us to see something about that. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Ooh, Revelation. You know, the Bible says if you read the words of this book, you'll be blessed. You ready to be blessed tonight? Amen. Now, you don't have to understand everything that's going to happen that's prophesied about and talked about here. It's going to happen. It's going to happen just the way God said it's going to happen and the way God intends it to happen, all right? Now, I would say this. I don't think this is a great place to start a new believer's Bible class. Because, you know, start them in the Gospel of John or something like that. But it seems like when things happen around the world, this is where everybody wants to go. What's it say in Revelation about that? Well, let's look here concerning this. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 10. Let's start there. John speaking here, the Apostle John. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And he names them there. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flaming fire, and his feet like fine brass as they burned in a as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. Now there in Ephesians, it said that it's the armor of God, right? It's not our armor, it's God's armor. And he said the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Notice here with Jesus that sword of the Spirit comes out of his mouth, indicating that you have to speak God's word for it to become a sword on your behalf. Chapter 2. Look at chapter 2. Verse 16. He said, repent, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will fight against them, talking about these that were spreading false doctrine, with the sword of my mouth. With the sword of my mouth. Hallelujah. There's a line in that one song we're singing, that the word is a weapon. It's a weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit. Look at chapter 19 now. So that, I mean, there's two times. How about three times? You take three witnesses. Pretty good. Well, if you got three witnesses, you got the case. You got the case one, don't you? Three eyewitnesses here. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was faithful and true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whoo, glory to God. That's Jesus. Notice again that sword going out of his mouth. What is that sword? It's the Word of God. All right, one more scripture, Hebrews chapter 4. See, Jesus defeated Satan with the Word. He said, it is written. He put the Word of God in his mouth, and that Word became a sword. It became a weapon for him. Well, we can do the same thing. Put the Word in your mouth. It's part of our armor. It's the Word of God. All right. Now, you know, this sword, we don't use it against one another. Okay. I'm using the Word against my enemy. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick, the King James says. Or in other words, it's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank God for His Word. His Word is a sharp, two-edged sword. Now, if you go back and look at that armor, all right, that sword's the only really offensive weapon that we have. Everything else is protective. You know, you got good shoes on, you got a belt on, you got a breastplate on, you got a helmet on, but that sword, the Word of God, is what we speak, right? It's what we speak that goes forth. Proverbs 18:21, for death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Well, what kind of words are we speaking? Are we speaking words of life, words that come from God, or are we speaking words of death? Well, you know, it's flu season. Every year I get the flu. Those are words of death. But God's word says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Psalm 91 says, no plague shall come near me. Hallelujah. Not going to come in my dwelling. Where am I dwelling? Well, first of all, you think of your house, but this is my house right here. You're in your house here, this space suit, or this earth suit, not space suit. I wouldn't mind being in a space suit sometime, but I don't know if they make them this big. But anyway, but this earth suit, right? We're at home here. Well, no plague's going to come near me. He said, with long life, he'll satisfy you and show you his salvation. See, what are you speaking? What are you speaking when that pain hits you? Are you running to the medical book and say, well, when you have that pain, this is what's going to happen, and then this is next, and oh boy, it's just a few short weeks, and then you're done. Or are you saying, with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation? See, speaking the word. Speaking the word, speaking the word. Now, none of us are going to live on this earth forever unless Jesus comes back. You know, if he comes back real soon, then we'll get a new body. Thank God. How many of you are ready? You know, I'd take it now, but I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven. But if he wants to come, you know. Only thing is, I don't know a missionary, one of them, that wants Jesus to come back right now. They got too many. They know there's too many to reach still. You talk to them. And they know, I got more work to do. We got more work to do. It's not that we're praying, Lord, don't come. It's we're praying, Lord, do a quick work. Right? Well, we've got to speak God's word. Speak God's, get it in your mouth. If you don't know what to, you don't know what to say, you know, trust God. The Holy Spirit's your teacher. He's your guide. He'll lead you and guide you into all the truth. And when you see it in the Word, start saying it. If you see, especially the New Testament, that tells us who we are. I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loves. I can do all things through Christ. Now, don't ever leave the Lord. I just don't go around saying, I can do all things. That's not what the Bible says. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? He's made us, He thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, He said. We are victorious in Christ. Well, in order for us to maintain that, we have to say what God's Word is saying about our situations. Well, are you telling me that I got to watch what I say about everything? Yes. If you want to live this, if you want to live the life of God. I know it's a new way of living. I know it is. But thank God you can do it. God will help you. He'll give you His grace, and He'll give you His Word. And if you make a mistake, that's all right. Just go to God and say, God, I said something I shouldn't have said that. I thank you, Father, for forgiving me and just wiping it out. How many of you know the Word's like a seed? Amen. It's like a seed. You plant it. You plant seed. Now, David and I here, we're from Illinois. Now, that's not much of a claim, you know, with some of the things that go on there. But we do grow good crops in Illinois, I'm going to tell you. That ground will produce some corn and soybeans and wheat. It does good, you know. Don't listen to anybody from Indiana or Iowa. Illinois. But you plant that seed in the ground, you know, you plant it. And you put it, you do what you're supposed to. You, every time you speak the word, you're sowing seed into the soil of the, if you read Mark chapter 5 there, it talks about the sower sows the word. Or Mark chapter 4, I'm sorry. The sower sows the word. Chapter 5 is where the woman with the issue of blood gets healed. Mark 4, the sower sows, the word is a seed. And you plant the seed, it will grow. It will grow. It will grow. Now, I've gone to God at times and said, God, I need crop failure. I need something to wipe out the seed that I've sown. You know, do something with it. And you know whatever, you know what always God has called, always led me to do? Start saying the right thing. Start saying it. Start saying what you want to have, what you want to happen. Start saying it is written. The Word of God says concerning me, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet and thank God for His Word. Father, we just thank You and praise You for Your holy written Word. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. Your Word, Lord, is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. By Your Word, Lord, by Your Word, we live. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Father God. We live by every word that proceeds from Your mouth. It is our sustenance. It is our guide. Thank You, Father. Thank You for giving us the mighty Holy Ghost to teach us and to guide us and lead us into all the truth. Thank You, Father. Your Word says we're sanctified by that Word. We're cleansed by that Word, Father God. The washing of the water of the Word cleanses us, Father. We give You praise. You're presenting to Yourself a spotless bride. Hallelujah. By Your Word. Father, we thank You that You've set before us life and death, blessing and cursing, and You said choose life. We do it with our words, Father. We speak the words of life. Father, we declare by Jesus' stripes we are healed. We declare, Father God, that our mind is sharp. We declare, Father God, that the life of God is in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My respiratory system, the life of God's working in it. My heart, the life of God is working in it. My circulatory system. I thank You, Father God. I thank You, Father God, my lymphatic system is working perfectly in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father God, my blood sugar is normal in Jesus' name. I thank You, Father God, that I've got strength in the name of Jesus, because by Your stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. And I will speak the victory. I will speak what Jesus has done and accomplished through His death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You, and so with long life You'll satisfy us and show us Your salvation. Father, we can't thank You and we honor You. We give You glory and praise, Father. I thank You, Father God, for each one right now. I just pray, Father God, right now, there be an infusion of supernatural strength into every person, supernatural strength in every person that's here. Father, right now, thank You for it, Father. Thank You for it, Father, to make them strong. Make them strong. Those ankle, I can see ankle bones becoming strong. Yes. Knees becoming strong. Hip joints. Hips been bothering. No, the power of God's working in my hip. Glory to God. Making me strong. My back is strong. Hallelujah. My shoulders, every part of my body, that life is working in it, Father. I thank You for it, Father. Hallelujah. You start talking like that, your faith will run up right out of your heart into your mouth. You can't help. You get to preaching to yourself. You become the best preacher you'll ever hear is yourself. Preach to yourself. Preach to yourself. Find out what the Word of God says about you and preach it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you in this place. We thank you and praise you in this place. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. Glenn and Heather are going to come. If you need prayer for any reason, they're going to pray with you according to the Word. So if you want to come up and have, you got some type of prayer request, come up here. We want to ask our first-time guests to go with Barry and take you. We want to give you that special gift on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. Hey, come back. One of them will be here next week, I know. But Pastor and Mrs. or Brother Craig, they'll be here next week. You can go with them right now and get that gift. It won't take you very long. Thank you. Give them a big hand clap for coming in tonight. Amen. And look, watch who they are. Get to know them. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right.